Hello, everyone, and welcome to RHAP's coverage of Survivor New Zealand Thailand. I'm your host, Shannon Gates, here for another deep dive about this season. You're going to hear everything from every angle on this season by the time it's all said and done. But I'm here today with a breakout star from the season, for sure. He brought the laughs. He was a very big, colourful character. So please join me in welcoming Adam O'Brien. Adam, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I think we're all very keen to hear about your game because it was a very unique strategy you came in with, this very defensive, very social gameplay, and I think you executed that pretty well. So I definitely want to hear all the decisions you made, you know, coming
Sweet.
To the final five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Well, I first want to start and get a little bit of your history with the show. Like, how much Survivor had you seen and why did you decide to apply?
Yeah, so I had watched a little bit of Survivor when I was a kid, but not a lot. Like, I'd only watched a couple of episodes, and I may have watched the final one when that first guy won it.
Yeah.
That just shows how much I didn't really watch it that much. Yeah. And then I watched the first season of the New Zealand one because I kind of like went for like a year of just doing absolutely nothing. So I was just at home. So I watched TV.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, same. I watched the first season of Survivor with my brother, and we loved it. And he was just like, "Oh, you should probably apply because." It looked when we watched it, because obviously Arvi won, he was like, it's a social game. Just go apply and win 250K this summer. So I did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's how you came into it, thinking it was like a very social game. That makes sense, because the first season definitely prioritized that very social part of the game, which is a huge part of the game. So that makes a lot of sense to me that that was your point of reference coming into it.
Yeah, and honestly, like I, because when I got onto the show, like I started, you know, researching a little bit, but I couldn't be bothered watching, like, you know, like a whole bloody season. So I like went on YouTube and just started watching because they've got like seasons in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But they don't actually show you Jack. Like, you don't actually learn much from them. I didn't learn anything from them. So, yeah, I probably should have watched a whole season. But I didn't know anyone that actually watched the show to actually give me a recommendation because it was like 40 seasons or something, like a huge amount. Yeah.
Adam, next time I'll help you out. I'm very good at getting people into the show. I've got a whole system. You know, after this we'll talk, I'll tell you which seasons to watch.
Oh, cool.
All right. So you didn't apply for season one, obviously, because you got into it through season one. Like,
yeah.
What did you expect going into it in terms of, like, maybe what you'd have to do with the voting and also, like, physically how hard it would be? What were you expecting?
I was expecting it to be really you're physically challenging, and I was actually expecting to be the weakest male there. So I kind of like went in there thinking, oh yeah, I'll be, you know, slightly overweight. I can kind of fly under the radar because I know I have some sort of fitness, like I can throw down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew I wouldn't be like completely weak to go home. And I honestly didn't expect the strategy stuff. And I know that's real stupid going into Survivor, but I didn't expect it on a level that everyone was playing, you know, like watching it back in this, you know, everyone's talking about the 3-2-1s and the 4-7-6s and all these kind of things. And I was
yeah.
like, what the fuck is that? So I didn't expect that, but I did learn. I did learn a lot while I was in the game.
Yeah, learned as you went, for sure.
Yeah.
So getting there and at the airport and in the, you know, pre-game shoot jury villa and stuff, I guess, I don't know what it's called, Ponderosa, but who were you feeling good about? Like, who were you vibing off in the pre-game?
Absolutely no one. So before the game, I was kind of like, you know, I was trying to do this real non-interested kind of character because I thought that was really unusual that we were all meeting before the game. That's something that I didn't expect. I definitely didn't expect that.
Yeah.
And because, you know, I had been told that we weren't allowed to talk to each other. So I was just being very distant and really not interested in everyone. And I think that kind of worked out well for me, really, because when we started playing the game, everyone was quite surprised.
Yeah. Well, yeah, definitely that you come out with this huge personality from the get-go.
Yeah.
They're like, where was this?
Yeah, and I think like a couple of times it would have come out, you know, before actually playing the game. But I did try and tone it down like a hell of a lot because I didn't want to be a cheater or like anything like that because there was definitely room for you to cheat. Like, you could definitely make an alliance, I reckon, before the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to have a bar of that. So I just kind of kept to myself.
Yeah, I would pay good money to see you trying to tone it down. I want to see what that's like.
Yeah, it's not good. It's just really obvious, like, ignoring people. Like, I don't know how to, you know, casually ignore someone. It's just, like, blatantly don't look at them.
Well, so going into it, like, how intentional was that strategy you end up going through, which is that, like, very defensive, let votes happen maybe without, maybe votes you don't even want to happen, but you kind of let it happen just while keeping everyone on side. Was that a strategy you had going into it, or did that just kind of, like, manifest during the game?
Yeah, so going into it, I definitely wanted to play defensively, because in all sports and stuff, I played defense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, being able to play defense well is more than just, you know, using your body and stuff like that in sport. You have to be able to read the game. And although I didn't really know Survivor that well, I picked up the game quite early and I was able to read it and then work defensively from there. So I was quite lucky. And I'm like that in other games anyway. Like, I do pick up games really fast and I like to take the defensive approach. But yeah, I don't know. I think I probably should have learned how to attack as well, but
maybe at some point, maybe just one attack at some point.
Yeah, at least one.
just the one would have been fine. But no, I talked during the podcast about how I thought it was a very interesting strategy that could work, but it just kind of like fell away at some point. So anyway, yeah. we'll get to that, but in a little while. Let's get to the game itself. So you're chosen for Kung Kao. How does it feel there being in the tribe pick and eventually getting chosen for Kung Kao?
I was really happy because the people that were being chosen for Kung Kao, they looked strong, especially the men. So I think by the time I was picked, it was like, you know, those three boys like Matt, Josh and Brad. And I was just like, oh, my God, this is perfect. Like, I'm going to be the this is exactly what I wanted. I wanted to be the weaker male on the tribe. I wanted to be on it. And the tribe actually looked really chill as well, whereas the other tribe kind of looked wired to me. Like, they all looked real, like, you know, they were amping and like, you know, I just thought, oh, well, I definitely wouldn't fit in that tribe. So I was real happy to be on Kung Kao.
Yeah. So how immediately did you bond with the Type 5? Like, obviously, we know you were very close with that Type 5 in general. Like, how quick did that start?
Ooh. Tess, I was tight with her from day one.
Yeah.
And I don't. It's funny that everyone says that was unusual because maybe, I don't know, because it was just early on, but we just clicked straight away and it was – like, literally just straight away, there was no, like, we didn't even talk strategy or anything. I think it was just our personalities that really just gelled well together. Mm-hmm. And I really liked Brad as well. I loved Brad when I first met him because he wasn't what I expected. I thought he was going to be, like, a real jock, you know, kind of like, ah, yeah, bro, yeah, like, all that kind of stuff. But he wasn't.
Yeah.
He was real cool and he was, like, he's a teacher, so he's really good socially and all that kind of stuff. So I got close with him. And I think he was close with Josh at the same time, so this alliance kind of formed. And I think Matt was the last one I kind of made a connection with.
Yeah.
The group. Yeah.
We heard a lot about those relationships and then obviously the non-relationship with Dylan, which we'll get to. I don't feel like we saw a lot of what your personal relationships were with, like, Keisha, Tara, and Lisa. What were you like with those three people at that time?
So I loved Keisha. I absolutely loved her. I loved Tara and I loved Lisa too. It kind of like turned a little bit silly in the beginning because we all just loved each other. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like, you know, what are we going to do from here? But I kind of like my relationship with Lisa and Tara kind of, it was real vague kind of in those first 2 weeks. And then it kind of developed later on, which we can probably talk about later.
Yeah.
But Keisha, I really wanted to work with Keisha, but it wasn't going to work. It never was going to work because she did align herself with Dylan.
Yeah. So Dylan, what started that feud that obviously was like a huge story point throughout the entire pre-merge, maybe like the main story point? What was that? Yeah.
Well, it's quite funny because it didn't start until that first tribal council where Keisha went home. Well, this is, are you talking about with me and Dylan? Eh?
Yes.
Yeah. So there was absolutely no issues with Dylan and I up until that first tribal council because, you know, the Type 5, they wanted Keisha out. But everyone was kind of being annoyed by Dylan and he was clashing with people, not me. He definitely wasn't clashing with me before that tribe. He was clashing with others. And so, you know, they were like, Adam, make Dylan feel like he's the one going home. So I kind of just stopped talking to him. This was maybe like a couple of days before that tribal council. And then when we got to tribal council, he ripped me in half. Like he ripped me to shreds and he brought up like things about my personal life and stuff like that. And I, at that time I was like, oh my God, like, he wants to be a villain because prior to that tribal council, he would definitely talk about, you know, being Dylan the villain and all that kind of stuff. And then when he ripped me at tribal council, obviously I'm going to rip him back. But they only showed what I had said. Like they didn't show any of the stuff that Dylan had said because he incorporated like personal content. So I'm glad that they didn't show it. But then at the same time, it's all out of context because it's just got me being real sassy on Dylan and Dylan doing nothing back. But like personally, there's nothing, you know, there's nothing against us. It was just after that, I was just like, okay, he's going to be the villain. I'll villainize him. I'll just, you know, be ruthless on him until he went, which is kind of what happened. But they kind of made it out that I was doing that before that tribal council.
Yeah, well, so when you say you were, like, ignoring him and making him seem like he was going to go, was that, did they tell you to do that based on the fact that they wanted to blindside Keisha?
Yeah, definitely. So the plan was to make Dylan feel as if he was going home. And I'm actually not a real nasty person. So my plan was just not to talk to him. Like, I wasn't going to be an asshole to him or anything before the tribal. But I just didn't really talk to him.
Right.
And I think he got real sensitive about it and he was like asking, you know, like, why don't you like me? Like, why does no one like me? But I was just like, this is a game. I'm not going to tell you that because I want to beat you.
I've already picked up on like a pattern here, Adam, that you can't like nonchalantly ignore people. It has to be like really specific ignoring. So it seems like a running theme.
Yeah. And I am real bad at it. Like that was, I'm like all in or all out. Like I can't do anything in the middle. And when he was asking me, like, you know, why people don't like him and stuff, like, it wasn't that anyone didn't like him. It was just like I couldn't. Like, there was the whole purpose was to make him feel like people didn't like him, which is part of the game. There was nothing that we were doing. It was just people weren't talking to him and he was getting sensitive about it. So he would kind of, like, you know, get upset and ask why, but I'm not going to tell you why because then you'll probably fix it and people will want to work with you. And that was kind of, like, my thinking at the time.
Right. It did seem like it had become even more personal between the two of you after that vote, like into the swap. So that does make sense to me timing wise. Going into that vote for Keisha, which was obviously the only vote that you had on pre-swap Kung Kao, had you wanted Dylan to go or were you okay with the Keisha plan? Because in your voting confessional, you seem to, you know, want to have worked with her and to spend more time with her.
Yeah. So I actually can't remember which one of the boys came up with the Keisha idea, but it was real left field for me because I was really shocked. Like I thought it was going to be Dylan. But at the same time, I was kind of happy that it wasn't going to be Dylan because, you know, like if you after Keisha had gone, I felt like I kind of like figured out that if I just keep on, you know, making sure that everyone knows that I don't like Dylan, then he'll definitely go before me. Like that was my mindset. I was just like, yeah, if I just make sure that everyone knows that I can't stand Dylan, he'll go before me because they'll need my vote to vote him out. And they'll know it's like a guaranteed vote.
Mm-hmm.
So with the Keisha vote, like her going home, I wasn't all for it, but I always found a way to make it happen. Like I was like, oh, yeah, that's okay because I'll do this.
Right. So, and were you in the know about the challenge throw for that? Like Tess especially, I think, was kind of pioneering throwing the challenge to take out Keisha.
I had no idea that they were throwing the challenge. I don't, did they actually? Has someone said they did?
Oh, on the show, I think. Well,
really?
I think a little bit murky, but like ultimately alluded to that. It was kind
I
of thrown.
Yeah, everyone says. Yeah, everything.
Every time
says
you
it,
lose, it's thrown.
I didn't. Even, and it was so long ago, I can't even remember. But I don't remember ever being told about it being thrown. But it's quite hard because a lot of people want to play off camera, and it gets really confusing for me. You know, like trying to remember back because some people want to make strategies off camera and trying to like discern between the two of them when talking about the game. It's quite hard because, you know, a lot of things wouldn't make sense because of that.
Yeah. And then the show itself, like the narrative of the show affirms or like changes things in your mind of the memory from what happened. So I understand that would be confusing.
Yeah.
One more thing before we get to the swap, the challenge for the watermelon. We have to talk about this, your love for watermelon.
Oh.
When you went through that really hard challenge, ended up throwing up, like just talk us through that whole experience and then, you know, getting the amazingness of the watermelon in the end.
Okay, so I still am not 100% sure on why I did vomit, but I have a theory.
Okay.
A couple of days before we had that first mud challenge, and they edited that the shit out of that because me and Aaron were just slamming each other for ages. Like that mud challenge to get the, you know, like those bags to the end or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like that went on for so much longer. And I reckon I got some sort of head thing. Because he smashed me like right into the ground and I was like a bit dizzy and like a bit dazed and stuff. And it kind of made me feel spewy for a while.
Oh my God, that's really worrying.
So when we did that that watermelon challenge, I honestly went hard out because I was like feeling a bit shit anyway. and because I love watermelon so much, like I had to win that reward.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't stop it. It just kept coming and I vomited for ages. Like they edited that too. Like I was vomiting for so long and I had a little watermelon in my hand the whole time. It was so funny.
Did that turn you off watermelon or you're still all in?
No, I love it. Although I am a little bit more picky these days. Like because that watermelon over there was so amazing. Like, I'm a little bit more picky. Like, I won't settle for a shit watermelon anymore.
I'm so glad to hear that. I'm so glad that that's what you've come out of this experience with.
I know. Thank you so much, Samantha.
All right. So you get to the swap. How confident were you that it would go well for you? Because obviously you have a Kangkar majority, but you're also with Dylan. So how are you feeling at that group?
I was feeling really good when we swapped because, just for the fact that the tribe looked so strong. Like we had Renee, who was a huge physical threat out there. Like everyone, all the girls were just like, oh my gosh, Renee, she's so fit and strong. And then we had all of the big guys as well. So I was just feeling really confident that we would never lose.
Mm-hmm. But if you did lose, was Dylan always going to be your target? Like, did you always think you were going to work with the Chinese or did you think he could work with you and then you would take out a Chani?
So I never thought that Dylan could work with us, but I didn't really care who went home as long as it wasn't me at that point. But I would have preferred Dylan to go home instead of Josh, definitely. I thought that it would have been so easy for the Chani people to just vote Dylan out. I don't know why they didn't do that because, you know, they voted Josh out who wanted to work with them and then voted Dylan out because they didn't know if they could work with them. So it made no sense to me.
Right. So coming into that tribe, what was your initial relationship with with the new people like Renee and Dave and Aaron?
I didn't really make much of an effort because when I got there, I was really tired.
Okay, I respect that.
I stopped eating rice at that point. So when I got to the tribe swap, I was just, you know, just chilling, lying around, not making much of a connection with anyone, because I honestly thought we would just win every challenge. And also Josh and Matt were working really hard on those boys.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite awkward because when we got to so you know how our alliance was invisible, and I don't know if it was invisible or not to others, but
okay.
I was always the person that no one knew what I was up to or who I was aligned with.
Mm-hmm.
So Josh and Matt, they'd always be like, you know, we won't talk as much. We don't want anyone to know that we're working together. So that kind of like, you know, barred me from talking to Aaron and Dave as much because they were working on those connections. And then I would just sleep around on my own at the shelter and stuff. And I think Dylan and Renee might have been making a connection as well. But, yeah, I didn't make many connections when I first went there. And that was kind of my plan. And, yeah, it didn't really work out for Josh.
Yeah. I can't believe you stopped eating the rice. Like, this is so early in the game. Like, how did you survive?
Well, they were so bad at cooking rice. Tara was decent at it. But they were so bad at it. It was just disgusting. I just had to win all those rewards. That's literally, and no one believes me, but that's all I could do. It's just wait for the rewards. And I did get all the good ones. So that's how I did it.
Oh my God. I respect it. Because like, I also, even when I'm really hungry, I don't like eating things that I don't want to eat. But that feels extreme, yeah. Like to not eat at all unless you were winning pizza. But so you thought you would win all the challenges. Were you worried at all for Brad and Tess on the other side? Or did you feel like Tara and Lisa were going to stick pretty strong?
No, I was pretty confident that Tara and Lisa would go strong because it was pretty much a guarantee for them to get to the merge.
Mm-hmm.
And I assumed that they would do something at merge. But yeah, I was always pretty confident in that Kung Kao. That's why I was like, we should just lose that win. Three times in a row, those three Chinese are gone. And then we've got Aaron and Dave and Renee, and we can work together and see what happens.
Yeah.
But it kind of all got stuffed up when Josh went home, really. Like, if there was any inkling that we could have worked with Chani, it got completely ruined when Josh got sent home. Because it kind of just, yeah, it was kind of like a slap in the face to Kung Kao.
Right. How much were you aware, and this is another thing we saw on the show, that Chani ended up throwing that challenge when they took Josh out. Was that something that you sensed on the island at all or not?
So I blatantly asked them and they told me after Josh had been sent home. So when Josh did go home, I was obviously really upset. We came back to camp. Dylan was being a bit of a dick, like with me and Matt and Aaron and Dave. I think we were sitting around the fire And, you know, we were really upset, and Aaron and Dave were kind of like talking us through it, because, you know, like, even when you send someone home, it's not nice. Like, it's absolutely gut-wrenching, even if you didn't like the person. It is really sad when they go home, because, you know, you're crushing someone's, you know, some people's dreams, or like some people, obviously you go there to win the game. So it's not nice when someone goes home. So Aaron and Dave, they were kind of like counseling Matt and I through the Josh vote, and they were talking and talking, and it kind of like came to me. I was just like, oh my God, did you throw the challenge? And then they ignored the question. And then I was like, hey, did you throw the challenge? Mm-hmm. And then they told me, and from then I was just like, fuck you, like, I'll never work with you again, because I obviously didn't know the game as much, so to me that was cheating. But right. Obviously I've watched, I know it's not now, I know it's like a thing that like people can do and stuff, but I was just so pissed off. I was just like, never working with you guys ever. And then actually in the same conversation where I was that angry, Aaron and Dave offered an alliance with him, like those two and Matt. So it was quite, yeah, it was quite a weird night, that one.
Right. One of the questions we asked a lot, and that I think we get a lot from this whole swap phase, is like, why were you not a target? How, like, Matt's name got thrown out, Dylan gets voted out, Josh gets voted out, but we didn't really hear your name. Were you a target that you knew of? But like, how did you avoid the spotlight?
No, I was never a target, because I played a character like in the game. Like, I definitely played the overly nice, overly fun. You know, like, I always would observe the camp, and if there was like a gap in entertainment or a gap in anywhere, you know, where I could slip myself in to improve the atmosphere, I'd always do it. And I think it was quite subtle, the only subtle thing about me, it was quite subtle that people never really looked at me as being a target. And I also am very good at making out that I'm dumb. I think I do it, you know, just by, you know, naturally as well. I could just pretend to be dumb because it's so much easier, because you don't have to talk to people properly.
Mm-hmm,
I don't know. I do it in real life too. But I was like, when I did this podcast, I was like, okay, Adam, don't be dumb. Just, you know, just tell Shannon what you actually think. But yeah, so that was another thing. When people obviously think they're smarter than you, or they know more than you, they're going to want to take you along and, you know, take advantage of you and stuff as well. So I think a lot of people did that with me as well.
That's interesting. So you also had this really key relationship with Renee that we've alluded to, but that seemed to get really close really quickly. Like, how did that get so close in that time?
I loved Renee anyway, like, regardless, like, I'd see her at challenges and stuff, and she just looked like someone that I would hang out with at home, because she was, you know, she was really competitive, she was real funny, she was feisty, like, you know, in that mud challenge and stuff, she'd be dead serious, and she'd just be like, kaka! Like, you know, I just loved that energy, and I really bond with her. She's got a great laugh. That laugh is, you know, that can really allure people in as well. So I loved Renee from the get-go, but I think after Josh left, I really, you know, just pursued that relationship and, you know, showed her a little bit about me, and I think we really connected really well, because I think she didn't really know much about me other than being like an absolute joker. So just to show her that I was, you know, slightly intelligent and all that kind of stuff, I think she really liked it and wanted to work with me.
Yeah. So Josh goes, I assume that's kind of like, you know, as you said, a very devastating part to your game to be blindsided there. Going into that tribal council, was it a full blindside? Like, did you really think that the Chinese would be working with you?
Well, actually, so just going into that tribal council, like, because you kind of, we get on a boat and then you drive and there's like a bit of a trip to go there. Up until then, I thought, oh yeah, Dylan's definitely going. But as soon as we left, Dylan was super confident and he was happy and he's chirpy and he was like talking to the crew and stuff, like excited and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, something's going to happen. But I knew that Dylan wasn't going to go home, but I didn't know what was going to happen. Like, I was like, I had more faith in Josh and Matt that they were going to pull a blindside on maybe like Aaron or Dave, but I didn't think it was going to be Josh. That was like the biggest shock ever.
All right. So after the Josh boot, how are you feeling about your chances and Matt's chances at that point?
So after Josh had been voted off, we had that conversation with Aaron and Dave, and they kind of offered us an alliance. So I was kind of feeling good about it, and that, you know, we would just win the challenges. I still felt confident that we could win all of the challenges and then just get through to merge. But that didn't happen. Like, we lost the next immunity challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So when that happened, I felt like I was still on the in with Aaron and Dave, and I didn't think that I was going to go home. I always thought that Dylan was going to go home because, you know, we had made this a new alliance with Matt and, with Dave and Aaron. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, yeah, Dylan's definitely going to go. It was definitely always going to be Dylan. I don't think it was ever going to be anyone else.
Right. Because, yeah, obviously they feel like you might work with them at the merge and maybe bring in some numbers for them. What were you and Matt doing to make them trust you? Obviously, besides the Matt and Dave friendship, which we, you know, you found out about after. But what were you personally doing, do you think, to make that alliance strong with Aaron and Dave?
So I was giving them like real, like shallow kind of information about Kung Kao, which they were loving. I told them, you know, that me and Tess were like, you know, really faithful to each other. So if we were to merge with them, we've got a guaranteed number with Tess. And I knew that Tess and Renee were going to get along. And I actually was kind of all for it at this point. You know, like I was like, oh, yeah, this does sound like a good idea. But then Lisa had won that advantage of a double vote. And I was just like, oh, that idea is never going to work. So had to revert back to the Kung Kao ways.
Yeah. Well, and you also were a very big part in the storyline that was Renee hating Shani for her name being written in the Josh vote. So can you talk about how you, what you were doing there to separate those allies so much to the point where Renee never really got over it?
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny how it all comes out on TV, but I'm just literally going to tell you exactly how it happened. And I think everyone's telling shit. But this is what happened. So when Josh was campaigning to get rid of Dylan, doesn't matter at this point who ever said it, but he said, you know, that he was going to write Renee's name down as an insurance policy. Mm-hmm. And he must have told that to Aaron and Dave, which I think we did see on TV, which is totally fine. He can do that. But neither Aaron or Dave told Renee that that was happening.
Right.
But they both knew she was going to get a vote. And they didn't tell her. And that is what I told Renee. Like, I'd never said that they threw her name out or, like, gunning for her or anything. But I think where she got that from is because when I first got to Chani, Dave and Aaron both told me that Renee was lucky because if they went back to tribal council, she would have been the next one to go.
Oh, okay.
And so when he hears that, aligned with, you know, they knew that she was getting a vote from Josh. She was absolutely livid. And the thing is that they never admitted it. They always lied about it. So when Renee actually did leave, Dave and I had a bit of a confrontation after that tribal council because he was still doing the whole, like, I didn't know she was going home. And I was like, Dave, you and Aaron both told me that Josh was writing Renee's name down. And he was like, yeah, but I didn't know if he was actually going to do it. And I was just like, when my alliance knew that Keisha was going to write my name down, they told me. And this is what I told Renee. Like, I didn't tell Dave that I said that. But with Renee, I was just like, when my alliance knew that my name was getting put out by Keisha, they told me. Yours didn't. And so that's why she was so mad. But before Renee went home, like, Lisa had told her that she was going home. So she was all frazzled and upset, so she mixed the whole story up when she did confront Dave. Mm-hmm. And then he said that bullshit line where, you know, when he in his voting confessional, he was like, you know, your story doesn't make sense. I had the idol the whole time. But he didn't have the idol when Josh wrote Renee's name down. Mm-hmm. And that's how I know, like, just stop lying and just tell her now. But no one's doing that. So that one thing about Survivor that does disappoint me is that people aren't, you know, like, it's all good to lie in the game and stuff, but maybe just, you know, admit it in your confessionals or in real life.
Yeah, I always thought Dave got that confused because I don't know, why would he say to the camera that he had the idol when he hadn't had the idol? I always felt like that was just a, like, mistake and, you know, you just mix the times up in your head.
No, that's Dave. Like, he just won't admit to anything and he'll just say some bullshit. This is Dave in the game. I'm not talking about Dave in real life. It's nothing's personal to anyone. That I'm talking about anyone, but like Dave in the game, like he would just talk shit. And I can understand because he was on the bottom. So, well, I thought he was on the bottom. And so he would always just be trying to get himself out of, you know, the firing line. So I can understand why he does it. But just admit it when you get home. That'd be great.
Such a confusing storyline. Everyone has their story for that. There's like 8 sides to that story with Renee, I think.
Yeah, but that is it. Like the fact
but yours is correct.
It is. Like the fact is, Aaron and Dave both knew Renee was getting a vote that night. They didn't tell her. Why would you want to be in an alliance with them? That's it. And that's why Renee flipped.
Well, we're about to talk about a lot of people that you knew was getting voted out that you didn't tell.
Yeah, I've got a theory on that too, Shan.
Okay, we'll get there. So you get to the merge, and you said that, you know, before the extra vote, the steal of vote, you had been thinking about working with Chani, but by the point that you got to the merge, was that just not an option for you?
Yeah, it definitely wasn't an option, and I kind of felt that Matt was definitely not going to work with them. And Aaron was such a big target by the time we had gotten to merge. It never was going to work. I just couldn't see any way around it, really. We didn't have the numbers. Aaron was a target. Everyone was kind of Kung Kao strong, because those four Kung Kao people, when we merged, they were definitely like Kung Kao strong for that first vote anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you had gone with Aaron before, or with Aaron and Dave before the numbers screwed up, like when you were thinking of going with them on Shiny, did you have a particular target from original Kung Kao that you wanted to go after?
So my game obviously wasn't an attacking role, so I mm-hmm. would have gone with them. They were going to take out Lisa.
Right.
So I would have gone with that. But she had the advantage. It wasn't going to work. And the funny thing is like, you know, like you can vote for. Oh, I'll talk about this later, about the voting thing. Yeah.
Okay. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. Almost there. But first we'll talk about Aaron, because that was an attacking move. You were on the right side of that vote.
Yeah.
What were you doing? We really saw a lot of this. You were kind of demonizing Aaron and Dave, mostly Aaron that we saw, you know, with the Kung Kao people that hadn't met him, to the point where, like, when Brad comes into Jury Villa, he's like, doesn't want to talk to Aaron, and even Lisa, her voting confessional, is saying, like, she's heard really bad things about Aaron. So what kind of work were you doing there to spread that?
Yeah, so obviously I'd lived on both camps, and before the tribe swap, everyone's perception of Aaron was that, you know, he was a dictator, and that, because I think he had like a little bit of a, you know, like a angry moment at one of the challenges, and he kind of like growled at, it wasn't even bad, honestly, Lord, not to me anyway. Mm-hmm. He like growled at someone because they had put uneven weights or something on his, you know, that strongman challenge where you kind of like hold the pole.
Yeah.
He like snapped at someone, and, you know, like everyone was like offended by it and were like, oh, he's so controlling. You know, they just made those little comments. So in order for me to villainize people, I need to know what everyone's perception is of that person, because I can't just make up shit out of nowhere. I have to kind of like highlight things that they already believe, which mm-hmm. aren't even true.
Mm-hmm.
Because I met Aaron and he was freaking nice. Like, I was like, oh my God, I love this guy. Like, he's so cool.
Yeah.
And all my time on Charlie, I absolutely loved him. But by the time we had, you know, merged, I couldn't like stay with that, you know, that new, we called it the new Charlie. Like, I couldn't do it. And I just had to just attack and get rid of Aaron just to prove to Kung Kao that I was Kung Kao strong. But really, like, I would have, you know, I would have just wanted anyone to go as long as I got to the end. Like, I didn't really care, yeah.
So you said that you did really like Aaron. Was there any attempts on your behalf maybe to switch that target to someone else, maybe like a Dave or anyone else, or were you just fine for it to be Aaron at the merge?
You know, like everyone was, they were tossing up between Aaron and Dave, because Brad, I think, wanted Dave out at that point. But Matt also felt this, you know, like I don't think he trusted Aaron that well, because everyone was butthurt over the Josh vote.
Yeah.
And Aaron was just the main target for it, because Dave wasn't very threatening. He kind of really came off as if he was, you know, a follower, or, you know, not making any decisions. He came off really indecisive. That's probably the best way for me to describe Dave in the game. He mm-hmm. was so indecisive. So he wasn't really the primary target. It was always going to be Aaron.
Right. So I want to talk about some of these like elongated defensive strategy. Before I do, Renee obviously integrates fairly well into that new Kung Kao majority, and she flips over immediately.
Yes.
How involved are you in facilitating some of those relationships? Like, it seems like she got really close with Tess really quickly. So were you kind of like making those connections?
I was doing it very subtly. Like, I was just like, oh my God, you guys, like, Renee's so cool. Cause I didn't want to just go all in and just be like, oi, Renee's working with us. She's cool. Like, I wanted them to really get to know her, cause she was really trustworthy and a really strong player to play with. So I was just kind of like, you know, Brad, Tess, you know, everyone, just to get to know Renee. And I was like, she's doing a big thing for us to vote out Aaron right now. But I think, you know, everyone was just kind of like, well, we don't actually need a vote. Because I think at that point with the vote steal, we didn't need that extra vote to vote out Aaron.
No, yeah, because it ended up being 8-2. So you would have had all the numbers anyway.
Yeah, so I don't know if they really felt like she put her, you know, neck out on the line for them. But she did make really good connections. She didn't have long to do it either. But yeah. I feel real bad for Renee that she left the way she did.
All right. Well, I want to get to the Brad vote, which was, I definitely need to get your perspective on this. And you need to talk us through the whole thing, because it seems at this point, like, you're working with absolutely everyone. You've got Matt, who's in power. You've got Brad, who's in power. How much did you know, obviously, with Tessa's clue in the Invisible Five, you obviously knew Brad had an idol.
Yeah.
From the get-go. So talk us through the whole thing. Matt comes to you, says he wants to take out Brad. Walk us through your decisions to not vote for Brad, but also not alert him to the fact that he should be playing his idol.
Yeah. So it actually comes a few days before where we merged, and I went in to have a chat with Tess, and she told me that Brad had dropped his idol. I don't know if you've heard that story.
Yes. I've heard so many different – it always makes me laugh, though.
Okay. I don't know why they didn't put on TV, because that was such a huge part of Brad being a target. But anyway –
that's the most entertaining story I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Drops his idol. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So the point is when we got to merge, everyone knew Brad had an idol. And it had worked out perfectly, because I had lied to Charney and told them that Tess didn't find an idol, which kind of looked true because Brad had it. And so when Aaron had gone home, blah, 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 and the next one was just to get rid of Dave. And then all of a sudden, I only had a couple of conversations with Brad up until he left. And in one of those conversations, he was a bit paranoid because he said, hey, I had just had a conversation with Tess, and I mentioned, you know, that we would vote Matt out if we had to, because he's such a threat in the game. And he was a bit paranoid about it, and I was just like, okay, well, you need to stop talking about the end game, because you need to, because that's a bad idea. And right from then, when he told me that, I was like, oh, my God, like, this type 5, which was type 4 at the time, they're turning on each other. It's screwed. Like, it's definitely never going to work. I know Tess is fiercely loyal, but those boys were going at each other. And then, so when Matt came and had that conversation with me, he teamed up with Lisa, and Lisa had told me, you know, that Brad had promised to go to the end with her, which kind of, like, you know, it solidified that, you know, those conversations that Brad was having with people were true, like, because all these different people were telling me. He had the idol, and then, like, that conversation with Matt, Lisa, and I, it was really long, and I didn't want to vote for Brad. Like, I wanted it to be Dave, and they would always be like, no, Dave will go next. Like, Brad needs to go because he wants me out, and this is Matt saying that. He was like, Brad wants me out. Like, you've got to, you know, Brad's got to go. And I still didn't want Brad to go, but it was going to happen, like, regardless, unless I told him to play his idol. And then mm-hmm. Brad was committed to voting for Renee.
Wow.
And I was just like, oh my God. Like, I didn't want Renee or Brad to go, but I knew I was going to lose either of them, because if he played his idol, Renee was probably going to go, because I actually didn't know what Dave and Eve were going to do, because I knew that Dave really didn't like Renee. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know, how can we trust Dave and Eve? Because really, we shouldn't be trusting Dave and Eve. I don't know why Matt and Lisa and Tara did, because, you know, we had just merged. So I just, yeah, I had no idea what they were going to do. I was like, oh, is it going to be Brad or Renee? And then I just weighed it all up. I was looking at all the odds, and I was just like, you know, Brad's got all this baggage with him, and, you know, majority of the tribe are against him. I can't save him, because if I save him, the majority of the tribe will vote out Renee, and then I'll be next. Or if not Brad. And there was just, at that point, I was just like, there's no way that I can get to the end with Brad, which was unfortunate.
So if you had felt like you could have got it to a point where Dave would have gone, even though you'd been wanting to play a defensive game, would you have kind of stamped on your authority to make Brad play the idol to idol out Dave? Or, I mean, he had an idol himself, so he might have played it there. But, like, knowing that, would you have done it that way, but you basically just chose Renee over Brad?
No, I definitely wouldn't have. I think if I had of attacked, it would have had to have been, you know, if I was going to tell Brad, it was going to be between Brad and Matt. So I was going to be like, you know, like, if I did tell Brad to play his idol, it would have had to be me, him, Tess, and Renee to switch our votes to Matt.
Okay.
Because I couldn't work with both of them, because they're both trying to vote each other off. And I really, really, really adored Matt, and I had a really close connection with him from the tribe swap.
Yeah, you've been with him the whole time.
Yeah, and so at that point, it was kind of like, you know, like, does Brad actually want me to go to the end? And I didn't have much time to make this decision. And the thing that I actually feel real bad about is when we were lining up to, you know, walk in with our torches to the tribal council, Tess overheard Eve freaking out about it. Like, she was like, it's not going to work, blah, 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 blah. And she was saying this to Matt. And Eve overheard it. Tess overheard it. And she asked me straight. She was just like, boy, something's going to happen. And I was just like, no, it's not. And I lied to Tess and I felt real bad about that. But yeah, there was so much riding on that vote. It was crazy. It was a really, it was like kind of like the first week where I was like, oh shit, this is happening. It's happening.
Survivor is really hard.
It is hard. It's not easy.
Okay, so you obviously, like, you blindsided Brad, but as you said, you had lied to some of your key allies. Like, did Renee know what was going on then, or was she also in the dark?
I think Renee was definitely in the dark. I think I obviously can't remember if she knew or not, because I thought she did know, but, you know, she said she didn't, and I believe Renee. So I think she was in the dark about it, but I did tell them both that I knew that Brad was going home, and I kind of explained to them what I just explained to you. Like, right. I was like, it was literally between the two of them. I didn't know, you know, there was things about that idol too, you know, like Matt was saying, you know, like, he'll never play that idol for anyone else but himself, you know, like stuff like that.
Right.
So yeah. And Tess and Renee, they did understand where I was coming from. Like, it wasn't like, oh my God, we hate Adam now.
Yeah.
Like, they definitely understood at the time.
I think when you phrase it like that, when I was like, it was Renee or Brad, obviously that makes a lot of sense to Renee. She'd be okay with that. And even Tess is close with Renee, so maybe she's more forgiving there, you know, rather than being like, oh, it was Brad or Matt, or even like, you know, Brad or Dave would be pretty bad if you were choosing Brad. But
yeah, and Brad was doing a lot of talking. Like, he was doing a lot of work with everyone. And I think, like, it was just a bit too early. Yeah. You know, like, talking about the end that early in the merge, like, just at merge, people just didn't like it.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the end. We shouldn't have been. What were you thinking? Maybe not verbalizing, but who were you thinking you wanted to go to the final three with at that point?
It's real annoying. And, you know, I say it all the time, but I didn't envision myself with anyone else. Like, I just wanted to get to the end. I didn't care who it was at the end, because I knew that I was hiding a huge part of my game to everyone. No one picked up on it. So I was kind of confident no matter what if I'd gotten to the end. And I know, like, everyone thinks I'm, you know, like, on the internet and stuff, thinks I was shit and, like, didn't play the game. But I would have really...
Do people think that?
I don't know. Well, I haven't seen too many positive things. But, yeah, I would have really articulated my game and my observations. I think I was one of the most observant people out there. So I think the jury would have really appreciated that. And I would have definitely ripped the other two apart because I did observe everyone. So no matter who I was with, I would have told the jury my observations of the other two rather than, you know, like, doing the spiel like, oh, my family need money, like anything like that. I would have spent that time just destroying the other two's game.
It would have been like a roast more than a final tribal council.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. So we get here to the final eight where you win immunity. Like, how did that feel? Did you feel like you needed it? Because you were in a pretty good position, but it must still be nice to win immunity.
Yeah, I didn't think I needed it, but I didn't think I was going to win that one either because it was such a random challenge. Like, I was like, are you kidding? We're going to be here for ages. Like, it was quite funny because before the merge, like, I'd always, you know, put my hand up to sit out a challenge. And then when we got to the merge and we're having individual challenge, I'd be like, yep. And today, Adam's going to sit out for Adam. Like, I was just not interested in the challenges. And then to get that win, it was pretty funny. But yeah, I was yeah, this is a bit arrogant, but I was expecting a win. Like, I would have been quite disappointed if I went home not winning immunity.
Mm. What kind of challenge did you think you would be winning then?
Oh, like anything to do with weight. Like, because like when we drive, okay, so the islands that we're staying in were so cool. You'd like jump in the boats and then they'd take you and there were like all these different islands. Like, there was one called like Snakehead Island and then one called like the Mudgrove. Like, they all had these different names. And each island had a different challenge on it. So we'd be like going through and like you'd see all the islands and you kind of see like the production setting up the future challenges. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like weeks in advance. Like, you'd see, oh my God, there's that one. There was this one where it was kind of like a roller and you'd have to like run on the roller thing and the person like fall off into the mud.
Okay.
And I was waiting for that to come up, but it never did. And I was like, oh yeah, that'll be one that I'll win.
Why did they make it if you didn't play it?
I don't know. Maybe it was unsafe. Maybe they were a bit paranoid after that one that Tess fell off.
Yeah. That probably makes a lot of sense. There was a lot of, yeah, a lot of danger happening in that, like, same mud pit that you guys kept playing the challenges at.
Yeah. No one was happy when we turned up to that island.
Like, oh, no, not this one again.
Yeah. It was pretty funny.
All right. So you won the immunity, which is great. How did you see the alliance structure at the point after Brad left? Because we've heard from, like, even Jury Villa, she thought it was something of, like, a five with Lisa, Tara, Eve, Dave, and Matt. Who are you seeing as, like, your people at that point?
At that point, I was kind of, I just thought that I only had a three with Matt and Lisa.
Okay.
I knew that I wasn't a part of that five, but I also knew that I wouldn't be in the firing line first. I didn't really know what was going to happen because it was really, really, it's really, really hard to explain the whole Dave situation because I was just like every week, why is Dave not going home? And Matt would always drill into me, you know, that, you know, Dave really trusts him and, you know, would just tell me all these reasons why that they were going to keep Dave. But I was just like, well, why don't we just get rid of Dave? Because we trust Renee. We trust Eve. Why is Dave not going home? So that was like, I guess a thing that really almost like cock blocked a lot of moves in the merge. You know, like, I don't know if the friendship really had much, you know, too much to do with people actually going home, but it did block a lot of people's moves. And it kind of like, disallowed anyone to do anything really cool because there was always just that really weird thing like, why hasn't Dave gone home?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this is where Renee goes. I never was quite sure if it was like the Brad vote and how much you knew and how much you were kind of blindsided with this.
Yeah. So I did know that Renee was going, but I did have hope that Dave would go because, you know, he was such a liar. And I told everyone, like, I was just like, why does everyone trust this guy? Like, he's an absolute liar. So I did have confidence that Renee would pull it out. But I was completely blindsided by Lisa actually telling Renee. Because, you know, Lisa and Matt would do a lot of strategizing and stuff, and they'd kind of keep me in the loop of what was happening, but I wasn't always 100% what was going to happen, you know? So Lisa telling Renee, that was really weird. You know, everything shocked me in Survivor. That definitely shocked me. And then I just felt bad for Renee because, you know, she kind of like lost the plot a little bit.
Right. So I didn't hear much about Lisa telling Renee. Do you know why she did that?
I think they were in the car on the way to, like, I think it was Tess, Lisa and Renee on the way to the car. And I think they asked who she was voting for. And Lisa just told Renee it was her and that everyone was voting for her.
Right.
Like that's literally what happened.
Wow.
And then we all get out of the cars. I was in a car with some other people and Renee comes up to me. She's like, fucking Lisa just told me that I'm getting voted out. And then I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. So Renee's definitely going home. And I was just like, oh, you've got to, you know, pitch everything that we've been saying about Dave and why he shouldn't be here. But then, you know, she was so caught up in the moment and so emotional and stuff. She got everything mixed up and it didn't work out.
Who were you hoping might swap their votes? Like Matt, did you think maybe to vote for Dave? Or like who were you hoping would vote with you and Tess and Renee?
Either Tara or Eve. Because Matt and Lisa would really, really tell me why, you know, all the reasons why Dave should stay. So I thought it was their idea to get rid of Renee. I didn't think it was Dave's. Because Matt and Lisa would just come up to me and tell me who they were going to vote for. So I had no idea that it was Dave's idea because I never talked to Dave ever. So yeah, that's just how it happened.
Why was your relationship with Dave at this point like so hostile considering like, I mean, obviously he blindsided Josh, but before that and within that time you said you maybe had thought of even working with them in the pre-merge. So how did it get to this point with the mocking and the calling him a dick, which I mean, I don't think it takes much, but like why was it so bad at this point?
Well, I think, you know, like before Josh went home, loved Dave, and I still think he's a really nice guy, you know, like out of the game and all that kind of stuff. But he really irritated me in the game. And it's really hard because, you know, like I'm addicted to food. I'm a big guy. I'm an Islander. We love food. We eat food all the time. So I was going through withdrawals over there. And when they come back from rewards and he's complaining about how full he was, that made me fucking livid. Like, I was just so angry. I was like, who are you? What kind of person are you that you're doing this to like starving people that haven't eaten? Like that really, really pissed me off. And then the other thing was Dave just became my new Dylan. So it was kind of, I just thought I could do that strategy again where, you know, if everyone thought I hated Dave, and, you know, like I'd even take it into my confessionals, like I'd be so into the game and consumed by the game that I would take that hatred into my confessionals just to convince everyone. And, you know, like even in my confessionals, I'd try and convince the story producer of what I was trying to say, you know, and I'd kind of like use that as practice as what I was going to say to the contestants in the game. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'd just go hard out on Dave and I just assumed that he would always go before me because, you know, everyone would use me to vote him out.
Yeah, well, you do end up actually eating with him soon now when Eve wins the reward and takes you and Dave. What was your relationship with Eve like? That's not something we haven't really explored.
It was just very pedestrian, I guess. You know, we'd walk past each other and smile, and it was really, really nice. Like, she was really nice to have out there because she was no drama and she was very calm. And we had really good conversations about real life. But, yeah, we never talked about the game or anything like that. But as a person, she's amazing. Eve's really, really nice.
Why do you think she chose you for the reward, other than the fact that you would not eat the rice?
I think that she is so nice that that is the reason why she chose me.
What a good strategy. Get chosen for awards because, you know, you've chosen not to eat the rice.
Yeah, and she actually did apologize to me afterwards. She was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I completely forgot that you and Dave don't like each other. And I was just like, oh, don't worry about it. Like, I got chocolate out of it. And I actually didn't mind Dave. But, you know, like, in real, you know, like, real Adam doesn't mind Dave. It's just that, yeah, game Adam had to have someone to clash with.
Yeah, well, yeah, you do go to the reward and you seem to bond with them a little bit and you talk about, like, the story of your brother and stuff. Was it something that you were communicating with people a lot of in the game?
No. So I think I only talked to Lisa about that. Like, I didn't even talk about it with, you know, Tess and Matt and stuff, but it was really just because they were both in the medicine industry.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't doing it to, like, make alliances or, like, you know, try, like, manipulate them or anything. I was just like, okay, let's play a game. Because I like to play random games all the time. And I'd be like, I'm going to name these medicines and you can tell me what they're for.
That sounds like a horrible game. That's not fun at all.
It was fun. Because you're just like, you know, feeding people's egos of how much knowledge they know, and they just love playing those games where they're definitely gonna win.
That's why I do Survivor trivia. It's true.
You should play with Lisa.
I know, we should. That would be a showdown.
Yeah, that'd be good.
So you obviously you spoke to them, you know, about your brother and stuff, and it seems like you did get on with them. But then this vote gets to basically Dave versus Eve. How much do you think, like, what were the chances of that Dave plan coming off? And why do you think it didn't work? Because it could have been like you, Tess, Tara, and then Eve, who's going home, to turn around on Dave. How come that didn't come together?
So there's quite a few things to do with this Eve vote. So first of all, the Tara-Dave plan was very, very, it was quite late, you know, late notice. And the approach with Tara, she didn't offer anything other than voting Dave out. So it was kind of like, you know, we vote Dave out, then what? Like, with Tara coming to me, like, when Dave was going to go, I wanted it to be Lisa and Matt, who I thought I was tight with, to tell me that Dave was going to go and then we'd vote him out. But when it was Tara, I was like, okay, so if we vote Tara out, I'm going to be blindsiding my alliance, who I thought it was at the time, which was Matt and Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to be left with who, like, you know?
People you weren't close with,
yeah. Yeah, and I just didn't know what was going to happen. And then the other thing was, is that before Eve found out she was the one going home, she was targeting or voting for Tess.
Yeah.
And Tess was pissed at that. So, you know.
She didn't want to help Eve.
Yeah, Tess was never going to help Eve. So we just weren't going to have the numbers to save Eve. And I didn't know that Lisa wanted to keep her. So Lisa didn't tell me that. If Lisa did, I would have definitely been on board to just get rid of Dave. But at that point, I was still relying on Lisa and Matt to get rid of Dave at some point after that. But
yeah. Well, Lisa spoke in a deep dive about how much she would have wanted to do that. But the problem was she knew about Matt's idol. She didn't want to alert Matt to the fact that he was going to be blindsided and then, you know, put his back up so he might use the idol the next vote. But so We've talked about this defensive game, and it's very unique that you knew who was going home, like the Eve vote and then the Renee vote and the Brad note, but you weren't necessarily getting out the person that you wanted, which was Dave, every single time.
Yeah.
When you look back on it, do you have any regrets? Like, which of those votes, if you do, do you think you should have put your foot down and try to make more of that attacking move.
It would have had to have been the Brad one, because that was kind of where the numbers, like, I think we were at like 9 there or something.
Yeah.
So the best odds would have been, you know, if I actually thought about it, because I never ever thought of getting rid of Matt, and I don't think it would have ever happened, to be honest. But if we're talking in hindsight and all that kind of stuff, the only thing that would have changed my game really is if I did attack then, and, you know, we got Matt out instead of Dave.
Right.
But, you know, that probably, I'm pretty much can guarantee that that was never going to happen at the time. But that's probably, I think, the only move I could have made really that would have changed the game.
Yeah, before Matt goes home here at like the final 6 or so, were you hoping to have Matt in your final 3 with like you, Matt, and Tess? What were you hoping for that final tribal council to look like at that point?
At that point, I was still like, you know, I didn't care. I didn't actually find anyone threatening. And it's funny because, you know, people vote people off because they think they're strong and they think that, you know, they're a threat to win. I just never, that was not my mindset, because I was just so confident that I could win. And, I think there's definitely a difference. We can talk about this vote actually with Tess here.
Yeah, well, I do think that I agree in terms of your final tribal council. I think with the kind of character and player that you are, it's likely that a jury member is either like definitely going to vote for you, or like a Dave would just definitely not be, you know.
Yeah.
But like, it's not based on who you're sitting next to. It's like you either have that vote or you don't.
Yeah, and I was kind of like, I was never too mad that Dave wasn't going home, because, you know, like, even though my friends were going home, they were my friends. So I was like, okay, well, these really nice people are going home and it kind of sucks. But, you know, like, Dave's still here and he's just the one person that probably is definitely not going to vote for me. And everyone else, I reckon I could have, you know, tried to, you know, bring around.
Mm.
But, so it was kind of weird at the top 6. Like, at the top 6, I was still confident that I could do well if I got to the end, but was still confused as to who was the real threat. And I was real paranoid the whole time that I was going to be a threat, but I never was. So I didn't need to be paranoid, which is frustrating.
Yes. Okay, so we get to the final 6, go through, you know, the auction where I think you got pizza, was it?
Yeah.
That worked out well.
Yes, I was very happy with that.
Could have only been better if it was pizza with watermelon on it. People talk about pizza and pineapple, maybe pizza and watermelon's like a new thing
people
should
be
doing. Now, that sounds really disgusting, actually. All right, so we get to the final 6. You end up voting for Tess, which was huge.
Yeah.
How much did you try to save her? Like, did you have another plan here, or did you know there was no way?
No, because I honestly thought that Tess was going, because she never really recovered from the Brad vote. And she did get quite, you know, she was a bit like, you know, oh, I'm going to vote for the Chinese. You know, she got really upset about it and real irrational, and she would, you know, storm around camp and, like, have her little sulks and tantrums and stuff, which I knew really bothered Lisa and Tara. And, you know, because she was saying things like, you know, Matt's a snake, got to get out Matt. So when Matt told me that, you know, he was like, you know, Tess wants me out, I believed Matt. And, you know, he voted for Tess too. So, you know, I was definitely working with Matt on that vote. And I just thought that Tara and Lisa would vote her too, because I honestly didn't think that they wanted her around anymore. It's really hard to explain, because this is probably real unconventional because I don't really know Survivor that well, but I think there's definitely a difference between, you know, like voting for someone and they go out and targeting them, you know, like, so that was one thing that I was going to do. Like, you know, if Tess did go home that day and she was upset at me, I was going to be like, Tess, like, I did vote for you, but I had no option. I didn't target you. That's the point. If you made yourself a target, it's not my problem. And that was the same with Brad, Renee, like everyone, like, you know, it's not my job to make you not a target, because I'm doing that. I'm working on myself to make me not a target. And I did pretty good. And it would make me a target if I tried saving anyone else. So that was definitely not my game.
Yeah. So, but how, like, hard was it to vote for her? Because we see you in the voting booth, like, crying, shaking, very emotional. Was that real? Was that the real Adam doing that?
Okay, so I'm not an emotional person. I don't cry very well, very often. I think, you know, when you interview for the show, they ask you real random questions like, have you ever wanted to kill yourself? And like,
whoa.
Yeah, and they like ask you when the last time you cry, and I couldn't remember. And I was just like, yeah, don't worry about me. Like, I'm definitely not going to cry in this game. Like, it's not going to happen. And the Tess vote was happening. It was all good. Me and Tess had a real nice romantic evening together. Like, we watched the sunset. And I thought she was going home, and we were just kind of like, you know, enjoying our time together. And at that point, I did think she was going home. So I was like, aw, like TSC, like this is nice. And then we got to tribal council and she wasn't like fighting. She was just kind of like real, she had given up and she was real, you know, defeated. And then I just got overcome with all of this emotion. Like all of a sudden I was like, oh, poor Tess. Like I just, and you know, like I haven't cried in how many years. So that's like my first cry in a very long time. It was not pretty. And I couldn't control it. Like I was trying to like not be like the, you know, like when I was talking in the confessional. So yeah, that was a real hard thing for me. And but I'm glad, you know, like having a cry after a long time, it's quite nice. Yeah.
Well, did you ever think that, because Tess knew she was, well, thought she was really going, right? But she didn't think you were voting for her. Did you consider not voting for her, like how you didn't vote for Brad, just to not piss her off as she went to the jury, or went to the jury in quotation marks, because that didn't happen. But like you end up actually voting with the majority for her when you didn't think they really needed your vote, did you? Because you thought it was going to be unanimous.
Yeah, so that plan had to change when it got to six because, you know, there was only going to be five in the next vote. So I thought I had to vote with them and actually show them that I am working with them, because I was a bit, you know, erratic and all over the place with my voting and with everything, really. So I just really wanted to show, like, look, I've just voted for my absolute best friend out here and probably my best friend in real life now. Like, that's how seriously, you know, serious I am, like, to vote with you guys. But, yeah, that didn't happen either.
Yeah, okay. So you get blindsided here. Probably your first, you know, like, the first time people are really pulling one over on you in the whole purge.
Yeah.
Who did you feel particularly betrayed by when Matt went home?
Lisa, definitely, 100%.
Yeah.
Like, no one else. I was so upset. I felt real betrayed. And I think, you know, it's real hard not to get personal and like not to mix personal with the game. But it's just like, when do you mix personal with the game? Because we are people and it's a 24/7 game. And it's really hard not to be offended. And it's real hard to know what's game and what's not. So pretty much once Matt had gone, everything Lisa had said to me was lies. Because I thought that the three of us were so tight. Because, you know, we'd share really personal, intimate stuff about our real lives. And I think Lisa definitely initiated a lot of it. You know, she would really come to us, you know, and talk about her personal life and we'd relate and, you know, we'd all, you know, get real, you know, she'd get upset and we'd like comfort her and really help her through whatever she was talking to us with. And then in the same conversation, she would say that, you know, she wants to go to the end with people she trusted. And so there was just this real, you know, unspoken word of actually she didn't mean trust and personal life, she meant trust in the game. And I had never showed her trust in the game, only trust personally. But me being a survivor novice, I didn't know the difference between the two, because, you know, I didn't really know how to gain anyone else's trust, like, because I didn't know the game.
I need to start giving you those seasons to watch.
Yeah, so it's really hard because, you know, playing the game. When Matt got voted out and then we got back to camp and Lisa said that, you know, she pretty much initiated it, I was impressed. First off, I was very impressed by the move. Like, I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. And then I just felt like real heavy hearted for Matt, because I was like, you poor bugger. Like, if that was me, like, I would have been gutted too, like, to be voted out by Lisa. So I was kind of glad that I didn't get blindsided by Lisa, because that would have really, really, you know, that would have been really bad for me. I would have been so pissed.
Yeah, even more angry than you ended up looking like you were angry on Matt's behalf.
Yeah, well, I was angry in the game, like, after Matt left. So I kind of, like, processed it, and I wasn't, So by the time I'd been eliminated, it was, like, you know, it was bad, but it wasn't as bad as it was when it first happened.
Yeah, but also you come back to camp, and you voted for Tess, and she's very upset. Yeah. How did you get her back on side? Because that looked almost impossible. But the next day, you guys were, like, right back on track.
Yeah, so I had to be honest with Tess, and I just told her, and that is one thing about my game, is that I did really choose who I was honest with. So with Tess, I was like, you know, you need to trust me with this, like, this is why I had to, and I was very good at, like, explaining my reasons for everything. I am a bit of a talker, so I can talk myself out of a lot of things, but I genuinely didn't want to vote for Tess, like, but I felt that I had to, and that Tess understood that. And, you know, I kind of told her, you know, I don't have many friends You know, in real life.
Okay.
But those friends, those, you know, there's probably only like three or four of them, like they would all understand, and she understood, and I was like, yeah, you get it. So we were fine.
Before she won immunity, did you ever have a plan maybe to throw her under the bus? Because I kind of felt like with that three-person majority, it might have been a good idea. Obviously, she wins immunity, but for the two of you to turn against each other at a point.
Nah, I think we would have been more powerful together than separated. I don't know if they would have targeted Tess, you know, like say if David won the immunity, I wonder if I would have still gone home.
Yeah,
yeah, I don't know about that because Tara was very like a very closed book, and Dave, who knew what Dave was doing? Because after Matt went home, it was just like, okay, well, is Dave going to go next? Like, it was just really
confusing. Is it going to be Dave finally now? Like, yeah, when will it be Dave?
Yelling out to Matt. He's not there. So is Dave going to be next?
You're like the kind of person who, like, keeps asking the waiter where their order is. And they're like, it's coming, it's coming. But, like, it never does.
Yeah, that's exactly how it was.
And then Dave made it to the final three. Did you and Tess think that you had a realistic chance to swing anyone at that final five?
I actually thought that Tara might, because Lisa did lie. Like, Lisa told lies, which is totally fine. But Tara was quite paranoid about, you know, who she could trust and stuff. So when I told her at the tribal council that Lisa told me she didn't trust you, Tara knows that I'm a straight up person, and I didn't lie to Tara ever in the game. Never. And I told her straight, I was like, Tara, Lisa's told me she doesn't trust you. And like, it was true. And she just wanted to take Tara to the end because, you know, she said it, I think earlier, that she wanted to go with people she could beat.
Mm.
And Tara was definitely one of those people. So, yeah. But then Tara gave up for her anyway. So it was kind of a fun story.
Yes. I don't really know. But going into tribal council, did you kind of feel like your time was up?
Yeah, definitely. So my plan going to tribal was just to stir shit up.
Yeah.
Because that's what I was doing the whole game. And I was like, oh, well, I'm going out. I'm going to, you know, give it my all. I'm just going to tell everyone that Lisa's going to win. No one listened to me. Look what happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, so you get voted out. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never done a deep dive with someone who got voted out before, so...
Oh.
My condolences.
It's okay.
So you had seemed impressed with Lisa's game, as you said, but you were also like very passionate once you went to the jury villa, you know, about her not winning.
Yeah.
So what was your criteria as a juror? I think it would have been more interesting, obviously, you were going to vote for Tess. If Tess didn't make it, we'll talk about that. But what in general were you looking for?
Okay, so do you mean what I was looking for in a winner?
Yeah.
Oh, so I said from, I think, you know, Matt Chisholm used to always ask us what we're looking for winners, you know, at every tribal council. And mine was the same every week. I was going to vote for someone, and it didn't matter who it was, who put the most effort in my opinion, into the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was real simple. And all I wanted is whoever was at the final three to tell me how much effort they'd put in, or like, you know, even just telling me how much they'd put in and what they did in the game. And I would have assessed it myself, because that's what I can do. I'm a juror.
Mm-hmm.
But also, the jury is kind of like a game within a game. So for everyone to think, you know, like we're better jurors or anything, like we're still playing the game. Like all the people that voted for Lisa, they were playing a game. Like everyone's still playing a game in jury. It's not over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Especially your jury villa of all the jury villas.
Yeah. And everyone's like asking, like, you know, who are you going to vote for? Who do you think should win? And stuff like that. And I was like, okay, like if these are the questions, like I'm going to have fun with it. And I'm just going to mix heaps of shit up and just see what happens, because I was, you know, I was reckless in the game. I was even more reckless on the jury.
Yeah, I think that you might have touched on this in the reunion, but I thought it was really interesting that you played the game for the juror I think you would have been. Like,
yeah.
you would have respected more, like, the social game, not necessarily pissing people off by, you know, sending them out, and that's why you made those purposeful decisions, maybe like not to vote for Brad, even though you knew he was going home. But
yeah,
then, you know, also just like, yeah, valuing the social game above maybe some of that like hardcore strategy. And I think that you played the game expecting that the jury would value that in the way that you ended up valuing it as a juror.
A little bit, but also like I didn't know the game very well. And I think a lot of the people in the, you know, like Lisa and everyone kind of knew that I didn't know the game very well. So for me, it's like, I would have voted for someone who you know, strategized really well, but no one really explained it well enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, 'cause I didn't know strategy very well. So just to tell me, you know, you voted out Matt because you wanted to win. Like, I was like, okay, well, you know, I didn't, there was no like description behind any of the things, you know, like in their final speeches from Dave and Lisa. I was just like, okay, so what you're telling me is that, you know, those moves were really easy for you.
Right.
And, you know, I asked Lisa, you know, like how, like, did it take you ages to convince Dave? Because Dave was Matt's friend. And she was like, no, like it took like 5 minutes.
Right.
And I was like, okay, so you made one big move the whole game, but you didn't put a lot of effort into it and you knew you were going to win. So I was just like, oh, yeah. And then when I voted for Tess, like for the win, I was just like, yeah, you definitely put a lot of effort in to win those two last challenges. And she was very social the whole game as well. I just felt that Tess had put a lot of effort in.
Yeah. I would never have expected you to vote for anyone besides Tess, considering you'd been so close since day one. So if it had been a final three of Dave, Tara, and Lisa, I'll ask two questions. Who would you have voted for to win before you found out about Matt and Dave's friendship, and who would you have voted for after?
So before, I would have voted for Dave, definitely, because I thought that he'd put in a lot of effort to get to the end.
What a world it would have been for you to end up voting for Dave after all that.
Yeah.
That's like tipping the waiter after he never brings you your food.
But yeah, like, well, because that, you know, that hatred from me to Dave was never real, you know, so like I would definitely, I thought he was a great guy and I thought he was a nice guy, so I would definitely reward him at the end. It didn't matter, like, honestly, like, if I thought that Dave or Lisa actually put in more effort than Tess, I would have voted for them. But anyway, I would have definitely voted for Dave if it was those three, because, you know, if that friendship was never revealed, he would have just, you know, his story would have been really good. You know, like, Chani, last Chani, was on the bottom the whole game. He had an idol that he never had to play. Like, to me, that would have been like, oh, my God, he must have been so stressed the whole game. And he put in so much to hide it all, I would have definitely voted for Dave.
Mm-hmm.
But if I did know that they were friends,
yeah,
I'd have to see what Tara said.
Because
I honestly wasn't impressed with what Lisa said in her final speech. That's why I didn't vote for her. And everyone's like, oh, Adam would definitely vote for Tess. I'm not that basic. I'm actually not that basic at all. Lisa did not sell herself well in her final speech. It was kind of like, you know, she said she had a pregame alliance with her family and she talked a lot about stuff of why she should win from home. But in terms of actually what she did in the game, it was two things. It was that she, you know, hid herself from being, you know, strategically smart, all that stuff. And then she did that one move of getting Matt home. And I just wasn't sold by it. And I'm a consumer. So if you can sell it to me, I'll buy it. But I didn't.
Did you go into that final tribal then, like, fairly open-minded?
Definitely open-minded. Like, I called my brother beforehand. And I was just like, I told him about the Matt and Dave thing. And I was, he was just like, he didn't even understand it because obviously if I don't know the game, my family don't get it either. And he was just like, oh, well, whoever sells you the best story is going to get it. Like, sells you the best is going to get it. And that's how I voted.
Right.
And also, I just remember back then, I didn't know the game of Survivor as well. So I don't know. If someone just says me, tells me that they get rid of Matt, to me that just sounded like you voted another person off. But I didn't know about, you know, how intricate it is to actually do that 3-2-1.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an idol involved and, like, all of that kind of stuff. It just, I just wish he had actually explained all of that to me. But, yeah, it didn't happen.
I'm factoring this all into my list of seasons I'm going to recommend for you. You're going to watch Survivor Panama. We're going to learn together about all of this.
Okay, cool.
Okay, well, also we have to talk about, you know, what it was actually like being at Jury Villa and finding out about the friendship. Obviously, Matt comes and tells you first of what we saw out of everyone.
Yeah.
What was that like? Like, what did you understand in the moment, the ramifications that it had on the game, or did it take a little bit of a while to process?
No, definitely not. I didn't. It definitely took about maybe like that whole afternoon. So maybe like 3-ish hours for it to actually, because it's funny because Matt said that he wanted to have a chat with me at my dinner. So I was having dinner. I've just been eliminated eating. And then Matt says he wants to talk to me tomorrow. And I was like, okay. Like I had just been voted out. Like, I didn't know what was the go in Drew Villa. And there were still cameras there. I was like, why are the cameras here? Like, shouldn't we be just like Jury Villa-ing it up and then just, you know? And so I thought that was really weird. And so the person who, like, the producer of the thing, like, because I wasn't interested. I was just like, oh, let's go for a coffee or something. You can just tell me then. But the producer of the Jury Villa was like, no, like,
you need to be in your room, and that, like, you know, they were really orchestrating that conversation because I wasn't interested in it because I was like, oh, I finished the game, I don't give a shit. Like, there's nothing you can tell me that's going to change it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was in that mindset, and then Matt comes into my room and was like, what do you want? And then he told me, and I was just like, oh my God, like, that's so funny. Like, that's that's how I took it, like, straight away. Because, I don't know, you know, like, when the viewers are watching it as well, they didn't really click on of, like, how much the friendship impacted the game until later on in the season.
Mm.
So it's kind of like was the same for me. Like, it definitely didn't hit me straight away.
Right.
Like, and Matt wasn't exactly explaining to me what was happening, you know. He just kind of told me that they were friends and that Dave was still there because they were friends, but there's so much more to it.
Yeah.
So I didn't really pick it up until, yeah, later on that afternoon, and then I was just like, oh my God, like, why was Dave there? That's why. You know, because that was my question the whole game.
Yes. How much of a role did you have in, like, convincing Matt he should tell the other jurors, or was that just all his decision?
No, I did recommend Matt to tell them because Tara had, you know, given up her spot for Dave. And at that time, I was just like, you know, I was actually getting, like, personally angry. I was like, fuck you, Dave. Like, you're such an asshole, Tara. Mama Tara, like, I've known Tara since the beginning. She's an absolute lovely woman, heart of gold. I was so, you know, like, I felt just so bad for her at the time, you know. And it was literally just after Tara had been voted out. She hadn't even come to jury. Yeah, and we were in the car home, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm so livid. Poor Tara. You've got to tell the jury. It's not fair.
Right.
And then, he did.
Has your perception of the friendship and its impact on the season evolved from that time, or do you still see it the same way?
Nah, definitely not, because at the end of the day, there were too many people playing defensively. Like, we weren't – not many people were attacking enough, and that's how they managed to get through. And – yeah, I have no bitterness or anything towards the friendship, but I think, if anything, it just kind of made the show a bit more boring because people couldn't really do as much as they'd wanted to. Like, you know, Aaron was really good at the game. Like, he constructed that Josh blindside amazingly, and there could have just been way more things like way more blindsides or gameplay like that that kind of, like, didn't happen because of the friendship. So mm-hmm. that's more disappointing, but I don't think it was, you know, detrimental to anything really. But, yeah, it was just more disappointing because it just kind of ruined the show in terms of it made it boring.
Really? Like, I thought it was a really compelling storyline in and of itself, though, because we've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, I thought the storyline was all right. Like, it was good. But, like, you know, like, before every tribal council, you see, oh, yeah, Matt and Dave catch up and, yep, that person's going to go home. It's not going to be Dave. Like, I just thought that was boring to do week on, week on. Like, it should have been, you know, like, that Matt blindside could have been every week or something like that.
You thought it constricted it a bit.
Yeah, definitely. Right. That's the only thing. But I don't have anything against them at all.
Right. Well, okay, so who did you think was going to win when you walked into Tribal Council? Did you have, like, a way you thought it was going to go between those three?
Ooh, nah, I have no idea, because we didn't talk about who we were going to vote for. Like, we had dinners and stuff, but everyone was taking it very seriously of, like, you know, let's do this properly. Don't tell, like, we're not going to tell each other who we're voting for, and everyone just make up their mind. But we did talk about the questions we were going to ask everyone. So I kind of, like, tried to, you know, tell everyone, like, I'm going to ask Lisa if she mixed personal with gameplay, which some people I thought wouldn't respect. But that didn't happen either.
Did you have a sense then coming out of Tribal Council after everyone had cast their vote? Who did you think had won?
No, I still didn't know. Like, I thought that it was gonna be like probably a draw. Like, I thought maybe Tara or Eve or someone would, like, vote for Dave, and then there would be some sort of draw. But it just never happened.
Right. Do you think that Dave would have had a pretty good shot? Like, having been on Jury Villa, do you think that he would have had a shot to win without the friendship reveal?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think he would have.
Mm. Poor Dave.
100%. Yeah.
That's something I spoke about with him. It was a huge game changer for sure.
Yeah, I just think maybe, like, the thing that probably could have saved them is if they did tell someone in the game.
Mm.
I don't know. Like, it's a bit risky and a bit, like, far-fetched. But, you know, I was thinking about, like, the other day before, you know, when you asked me for this podcast, like, if Matt had told me in the game, I would have taken it as an advantage as well.
Right. That you could have utilized.
Yeah, and I think that might have worked well, like, better for them, rather than, you know, obviously telling me on jury wasn't the best idea for Dave.
for that friendship or anything like that. I think maybe if they had told someone in the game, like even Lisa, and they would have all just gone to the end together, that probably would have been their best shot. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a tricky situation. But okay, so you come off the show, and you know, what was it like watching it back? Some of those confessionals that you had, like, were there any comments that you regretted when you were watching it back?
That last episode, so the episode where I got eliminated, all of those confessionals are actually, you know, like me off the island being eliminated. So I was just like a little nasty bitch. I do regret saying all that stuff about Lisa, like, you know, her personal appearance. That is so, I was so embarrassed about that. That was not nice. And it wasn't nice to watch. The rest of it, in context, I think it's funny. But obviously I can see how people would get offended by it. But yeah, I don't regret anything other than that stuff about Lisa. I do feel real bad about that.
What's your relationship like with some of those cast members now that maybe you said some stuff about?
I'm ironically, Shannon, I'm not very social.
I can't believe that.
I'm not. Like, I'll like meet up with people every now and then, but I definitely just chill at home, like, all the time. But everything's very polite and, you know, fine, but we're probably not going to be best friends or anything, but if we saw each other, it would definitely not be awkward. I definitely don't hate anyone from the cast. No way. They're all really cool.
Yeah, and what's been the reception to your character? Because you were obviously, like, a huge, you know, one of the main characters of the season. What in New Zealand, what's been the reception that you've had?
Well, in public, amazing. I haven't had one negative person. Like, everyone seems to be really loving the show and, you know, think it's funny, and I've had no bad reception at all. It's just the online people, which is really, I didn't like that.
Do they, like, what, they message you personally or just, like, in terms of on Facebook and on Twitter and just the commentary about it?
No, I get, like, personal message, like, pretty much from the first episode. It was before the show started. So it was, like, you know, when they announced us as contestants, people would message me and just be like, you're disgusting. Like, I hate the way that your approach to the game. And then, obviously, when the sassy stuff comes out, they're just like, you're a bully. I had people like threaten to come out because I live in a very like an area where everyone kind of, you know, it's like a one place area. So people threatening to come out to that, you know, to like beat me up and kill me and all this kind of stuff.
Jesus.
Like, had to get cops involved. It wasn't nice.
Wow.
But I did get over it towards maybe like middle of the merge. I was just like, oh yeah, you know, just stay clear from the online people. Don't interact with them. And it will be all good because I didn't, and like the game for me was so easy, but the watching it back and like all of the psychos online, that was the thing that really shocked me the most.
But you did come up with the best strategy I've ever seen in dealing with trolls. I don't know if people saw this on Twitter, but someone said, like, firstly, they were like, I think it was actually the final four episode. They were like, I'm an episode behind, so no one spoil me, and then said a bunch of negative stuff about you. So you just came right into their mentions and replied and told them the final three, and that Tessa won immunity and Tara got voted out. And I was like, this is, I you know, single, like, I hate trolling, I hate spoilers, but you put them together and it works very well.
Yeah, that was like, I'd been saving it all season. I was like, I've taken so much shit from people who don't know me at all. I was just waiting for the perfect opportunity. And that came out and I was just so excited. I was like, whoa, like, I was real excited. I like typed it out like five different times of how it was going to work. And I was like, yes. And I didn't think anyone would see it, but people were like laughing about it and stuff. And I just thought it was like a good, like, that is my humor. I'm not like actually a real asshole in real life. Like, I don't call people names or like anything like that. That's how I would get someone back, you know, like that's classic me of how I would get someone, like a troll.
It's so perfect. And he was like asking for it because he was like, no one spoil me, but also
I know.
And you were like, well, this feels like too obvious right now.
Yeah, it was like I had just like opened a present. Like, I was just like like, I was so excited as soon as I saw it. I was like, no way, too good.
That was amazing. All right, well, I have some questions from the listeners, unless you have anything else you wanted to add about your game or any funny stories or anything, but otherwise we got some questions for you.
Yeah, let's hit the questions.
All right, okay. Edmund Morris says, what made you get Botox before the season? This was something we loved on our pre-season cast assessment. I think it was the hashtag the first couple of weeks that I podcasted. Please tell us everything about the Botox strategy.
Okay, so I went to Japan last year.
Awesome.
Oh, wait, was that last year? I don't know. I think it was last year. And I got Botox just beforehand because,
Like I wasn't enjoying the wrinkles that were forming above my forehead. Like I didn't really like it. It was very cosmetic. And you know, the people over in Japan, they're very like, you know, straight face. They're not very, you know, they don't have a lot of expression. And I felt like, you know, I was, you know, resonating with them. I was like, oh yeah, no one can read me either. And I was just like thriving off it. So when I came back from Japan, that's when we were, you know, applying for Survivor. And that was just like the most recent thing that I had done. So I was just like, oh, well, I'm going to hide my expression, get some Botox. I doubled the amounts. And then, yeah, but I've obviously never seen myself on camera like that before and didn't realize like how absolutely I needed way more than Botox to hide it.
Yeah, it's impossible to hide your expression, but it did then end up screwing up a challenge for you. So how unfortunate is that?
Yeah. That was funny, man. And I really wanted that too because I'm a truckaholic.
I know.
I couldn't believe that that happened.
Yeah, if you had heard before that Botox was going to deny you chocolate, you'd be like, never again.
Well, because that day was really hot. Like, it, you know, in between takes and stuff, they'd put umbrellas over us because it was actually so hot. And, you know, like, if you don't have Botox in, you can, like, lift your eyebrows and the sweat will just kind of, like, fall to the sides of your face. But I couldn't do that. So the sweat was just going straight over my eyebrows, right into my eyeballs, and I, like, couldn't look up. I just, like, had to look straight. Yeah.
That's a very sad, very sad state of affairs. Did you talk to anyone on the island about the Botox strategy while you were there?
No, they all found out when it came out on the, you know, like in the news.
They just thought you had, like, the world's smoothest forehead.
Well, because I think it actually made no impact in the game at all. So.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. Except for losing you that challenge.
Yeah, I think they were all just like, what? Like, what are you up to?
So basically, Botox strategy, do not recommend.
Nah, unless you want to. I think it looked quite good on TV. Like, you know, I looked very chilled and relaxed the whole time.
All right. Nick Fishman says, who in the game that you never met would you have felt great about working with?
Ooh, that's a cool one.
Who was it? There was Yost, Carla, because there was a few you hadn't met, because Chani obviously kept losing. There was Frankie, then also Liam and JT.
I think I would have loved to work with Yost, because she was real high energy and, you know, she's real competitive. I quite liked that, because I kind of got the feeling that she wasn't very strategic, and I did get the feeling that she was a very loyal person. I couldn't imagine her, you know, she wore her heart on the sleeve, and I quite liked that kind of person. So I think it would have probably have been Yost, because I would have known that I could have trusted her.
Mm-hmm. Sebastian Raish says, why do you like watermelon so much? Even though we now know that you have higher standards for your watermelon.
I've always liked watermelon. But maybe 10 years ago, my friend showed me how to cut the top off and you just eat it out with the spoon. And it was kind of like a full meal. Like I was like, yeah, there's some crunch in there. Like it's, you know, there's some water. It's good for you. But I have some really nightmare watermelon stories too, but it's still. Like,
what are the nightmare watermelon stories?
Do you really want to know it? Okay, I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I ate a whole watermelon before me and my sister went for a 20K run.
Good idea. Yeah.
Okay. Not a good idea because watermelon is diuretic.
Oh, no.
And I'm so committed to the run that, like, you know, because I had to run. Like, I couldn't stop. And my sister's the same. I was just like, oh, my God, Amber, I need to shit. I was like, oh, my God, like, what am I going to do? And I think we were only, like, maybe 5 or 6 Ks away from the end. So I just literally pulled the back of my shorts down and just shat as we ran.
I have so many regrets asking the story.
It was messy. It was gross. But we got a personal best time on our you know, 20K run. So,
is that a win? I don't know if that's a win. Is it a win?
No, it's not. It's definitely not. Because, man, the chafage of that was not nice.
God. Okay. Well, I have, yeah, as I said, extreme regrets. You know, well, I only have one comment / question. It's a comment more than it's a question left. Just from Tim Shields, who says, Adam, I've watched every season of American Survivor. You absolutely top everyone who has ever played for your sharp wit, savage humor, and completely delightful screen presence. No question from me, but I wanted to say thanks as a viewer and fan for your critical role in making Survivor New Zealand 2 so amazing.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, I thought I should put that in. I was like, that is such a nice comment. I should give that to Adam.
Oh, my God, I want to frame that one. I've never read anything like that.
Do you think he'll take it back after he hears the Nightmare Watermelon story? I'm all out now.
No.
All right. Well, what is the hashtag for this podcast? We've got a late one here with hashtag nightmare watermelon story. People can hashtag if they made it to the end, or maybe that'll make them think of the story, which maybe isn't great. I also had hashtag watermelon pizza, hashtag vomit theory. A lot of gross hashtags actually coming out of this podcast.
Yeah.
Hashtag troll present. What are you thinking?
Oh, I like troll present.
Okay.
That's fun.
Good way to do it. We'll do hashtag troll present, and then maybe people won't have such gross images in their mind while they're giving us feedback.
I honestly do think, though, that, like, the trolls need to calm the fuck down on behalf of contestants, because it's not nice. We are real people, and I know that people are commenting about us, like, on the game and stuff, but a lot of the comments were like, Adam's a nasty person in real life, and that's the stuff that really pisses us off.
Yeah.
So I reckon, like, for future, like, because that is a real big thing for people not to want to play the game. You know, like, who wants to go on the show and be, like, ridiculed like that from, you know, like, the online people?
Mm.
So just get a life, you losers.
Or you'll be spoiled.
Yeah.
Yeah. We never wanted to get personal ever. Like, obviously, we're all people who comment, you know, we commentate about the game. But once it gets personal, that's not fun.
Yeah, it's stupid. And it's like, we're playing a game. It's not personal. And if you take it as personal, it's not. But you're a hypocrite doing the exact same thing back.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, where can people find you on social media? Not to send you hate, but to send you more lovely comments like Tim had for you. Where can people find you?
I'm just on Instagram. So I think it's adam.survivor.
Okay, and that's easy.
But to be honest, I don't know if I'll be posting much. I'll probably just, you know, I don't know.
Well, adam.survivor, that's good. There's been a few Survivor Adams and you got them before them. Well done.
Oh, that's good. Yes.
Well, you can follow me on social media. Don't send me hate either, but Instagram, Twitter, follow me at Shannon Gates. Also, you guys can all subscribe to the International Survivor Hap-Ups feed. There's so much going on. I've already done deep dives with Lisa and Dave, so check that out. I've got Matt coming in a couple of days, and also Survivor South Africa with Mike Bloom, recapping that every week, and then we'll probably get on some deep dives there as well. So, really great time for International Survivor. But Adam, thank you so much for coming on and sharing incredibly disgusting stories, but also all the fun in your game.
No worries. Thanks so much.
Yeah, it's been awesome. Thank you. Thank you to Scott St-Pierre behind the scenes. Thanks to all the listeners. Hashtag troll present, and I'll see you on the next deep dive. Bye.